Well, it's that time of year again, that time of year that Christmas cards have started showing up in our mail slot. How many of you have gotten Christmas cards this year already? How many of you have sent out your Christmas cards already? I'm glad to hear that I'm not alone in that. I love that time of year. On the one hand, it's great because it helps me to get in the spirit of the season to come. But on the other hand, and as your show of hands makes me realize, it reminds me how unprepared I am for the season to come. All of my overachieving friends and family members who have somehow managed to get their cards out already with full paragraphs and letters and essays on them kind of puts me to shame. I don't know where they find the time, and I wish I could find that time. Those holiday cards do have a way of helping us to prepare our hearts and minds for what is to come. Each card we get and open is a welcome message of hope that reminds me of loved ones and treasured memories. But today we get a much more jarring greeting. We get a most unexpected and perhaps unwelcome Advent greeting from John the Baptist. I've often wondered how John's message would look printed on a holiday card. You brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come. Yours truly, John the Baptist. You see, John doesn't pull any punches. He gets straight to work pointing toward Jesus and pointing out all in us that stands in Jesus' way. We wait for Jesus to come as the baby in the manger, of course. We long for him to come again at the last day to judge all with equity and righteousness. But the arrival of Jesus that John points us toward most clearly and powerfully is Jesus' coming and bringing to bear his kingdom on our world here and now, in our midst, as we gather. Already, John warns us, already the axe is laid at the root of the tree. That is to say, the Lord is come already. And the proper response, the right way to prepare, is to bear fruit worthy of repentance. That is, let your actions reflect the way God is working on your heart and mind. Further, John goes on to warn us, don't rely on your bloodlines or your traditions to save you. God can just as easily save the stones as he can save you and me. This is not cause to be hopeless. This is instead a call to action, a call to change. God's very kingdom has arrived on earth, and John wants to make sure no one misses it. And so God's salvation is like a double-edged sword. It is both good news for us as God draws near, but it is bad news for those parts of us that need to be chopped off and thrown into the fire. God's coming is to mean not just the glorious salvation of our souls, but also the glorious destruction of our worst and most worthless parts. John brings us such an important message. Into the midst of commercialism and nostalgia, danger and fear and disappointment and depression, John comes into this season and reminds us of the changes God has come to bring upon us and to bring among us. And in that sense, John's message makes a strangely beautiful and appropriate holiday greeting, because unlike so much that we do and see and buy this time of year, John actually helps prepare our hearts and minds to receive Christ. John not only gets us ready for Christmas morning, not only gets us thinking forward to Jesus' return, John prepares us here and now for the coming of Christ among us. He helps turn our hearts toward our neighbors. He helps put our attention on what God is up to in the world and in our lives. He reminds us that there are parts of us that are not right that are not okay, and that God has come to reckon with these broken parts of us. John reminds us, and this is the part that's a little bit challenging to hear, that we sometimes live and act like a brood of poisonous and devious serpents. But the good news, the gospel is John doesn't leave us there. God doesn't leave us there. John points us toward Jesus, toward the greater one who is to come. It seems as though John's very purpose in the gospel is to jar us, to shock us, to wake us up, to make sure we don't miss what God is about to do in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at how he shows up. He just shows up. He appears, Matthew tells us. He appeared in the wilderness. He did not ride out on a camel or float down the Jordan in a boat. He just showed up. Also, his words catch our attention because they are odd. No one speaks this way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. If you saw someone walking down the street later today saying that, you'd probably walk a little bit farther away from them. But this is something that John does to grab our attention. Look at John's clothing. It is strange, to be sure. Look at his diet. It is odd. John is sort of a wild man. And we could easily choose to write him off, to turn away not from our sins, but to turn instead from John's message. But I pray we don't. Because of all the holiday greetings you will receive this year, John's is the most important. I want John to jar us, to shake us up. I want him to insult us just enough that we straighten up and pay attention to his message, that God is breaking into our world, that God longs to love us, of course, but also to burn away all of our chaff. God longs to gather the good and wheaten parts of us into God's granary. And if we just go about business as usual, if we just focus on the day-to-day, we might miss what God is up to in our midst. Today in worship, we have more surprising signs of God's presence and power. We have the light of these candles shining defiantly in the darkness, this time of year when the days are short and the nights are long. We have the cold touch of the baptismal waters reminding us of our watery death with Christ and our glorious rising to new life with him. We have the bread and wine of communion, which I shockingly declare to you each time we gather is the body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. Those words may have lost their punch somewhere along the way, but that's an odd thing to proclaim. May it get our attention today. Today we have all these symbols and signs that help awake us to the reality that God has drawn near to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Today we hear the incredible news, not only that God has chosen you and me to love and save, but the shocking news that God sends you and me to love, to share salvation with everyone we meet. We are given a holy task today of being like John the Baptist. And what was John's job? John's job was to stand up and stand out. John's job was to surprise the world with the good news that God is near. And John's job, most of all, was to point everyone toward Jesus. So I want you to think about ways you can be like John for the world this week. Think about those you can point toward Christ. Think of the vipers in your life. And remember, God loves them too. And through you, God might just remind them to repent and bear fruit worthy of repentance. You can be like John, pointing others toward the wonder and joy of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Helping to burn away the chaff just enough that the precious wheat becomes visible for all to see. It may make you feel like a voice of one crying out in this wilderness world, but I'm with you. Your sisters and brothers in Christ are with you. We are in this mission together. And together, we, like John, might just be odd enough in the way that we live and love that others see Jesus at work in us and through us. This is a wilderness world, friends. And yet, into such a wilderness world, Christ is come. To such a pitiful brood as humanity, Christ has come. To burn away all our chaff and prune away all of our withered parts, Christ is come. To love us, to save us, to gather us in, Christ is come. This year, this season, this day, through your life, through your witness, Christ is come. May all who know you be blessed as you surprise them with this great news this season. Amen.